Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Hey, good morning, everybody. 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin, and I've got a couple of St. George's finest, not police officers, but a couple of St. George's finest here. David Cordero is with me. He is the Director of Communications and Marketing for St. George City. And Chad Thomas, the Economic Development Director for St. George City. You guys are like, wait a minute, didn't you have them on a few weeks ago? Yes, I did. But I asked them back, and
The mayor made you come.
I'm glad you're here. mayor made you come. That's right. She is scheduled to be on in a couple of weeks.
All right.
We'll see if she comes. I hope so. Yeah. I believe now we got the State of the City address coming up early next month, right?
February 11th, yeah.
Okay, so that would be like 1 week before the State of the City. So that would be, I think, 1 week, something like that. Anyway, that would be really cool to have her on right ahead of that. Maybe we can get a little sneak preview of the State of the City. In fact, we'll do that a little bit today, a little sneak preview of some of the accomplishments in St. George City. Let's start off, though, by talking about events happening coming up. I've talked about this one a lot, and I'm not going to do it, but it's happening. It's the Dragon's Tail, I don't know, what do we call it, a sprint race,
a stair climb challenge.
Yeah, challenge, okay, that's a good word for it.
Yeah.
And what that means is there's no way I'm doing it. And,
I don't blame you, Andy. I went out there yesterday, had a TV interview over at the stairs, and after I was done, I went with Brad Buchanan. He's with Tech Ridge. We went down. And as we were going down, I'm like, I don't know what all the fuss is about. This is a breeze.
Yeah.
But then coming back up, that's no joke.
Yeah.
That is no joke.
You did it, though.
And I did it. I completed it. Thought my heart was going to explode, but I made it.
Can I? I need full disclosure here, Dave. Did you stop and rest partway?
I did not stop.
You did
and
not.
Rest. I probably should have, but I didn't.
I would have.
I wouldn't blame you. It's challenging. You know, Chad's in a little bit better shape than me. I think he would have done it all, and probably he'd done it quicker than me, I think, right?
Two steps at a time, even.
I would have ran up it.
Yeah. It took me a little over 5 minutes to go from the bottom to the top.
Okay.
But there are some people that can sprint it. Those are people really in optimal shape. They can get up there in a minute and a half. You can believe it.
The challenge is bottom, top to bottom, and back up. Is that it? Starts at the top, or is it the other way around?
Yeah. So on Saturday, there's a two part of the event. There's a sprint challenge.
I don't even want to talk about the other one. But we will.
The sprint is might be the easiest one. It's just bottom up.
Okay. Oh, no, you don't even go down. You just go up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's it's down and up.
Oh, sorry. It is down and up.
Down and up. Yep. And then the endurance challenge is the one that's at 10 o'clock, and that goes until 4.
And so people, the challenge on this one is you keep going until you can't go anymore,
or you get to 24 laps because that equals about a 5K.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. you were talking about it. You did it the other day. Imagine doing that a lot of times.
My quads were screaming at about stair in the low 200s. There's 333 steps.
33 steps.
In the low 200s, my quads were screaming. And so again, I'm not in optimal shape, but if you start doing, you get 2, 3, 10, 12, drink a lot of water, stretch because might be sore the next day.
Well, we said this last time you were on the old Hanson Stadium, which is now Greater Zion Stadium. I think I had 90 steps from the bottom to the press box, and by number 90, I was done. That's plenty for me. I can't even imagine 333.
You can always tell when people are out there exercising because after the end, they look like Waluigi from Mario Brothers.
Yeah,
they just
kind
of like walk with their legs. That's what they look like after doing the stairs.
Yeah.
We have a Mario Brothers reference. That makes Stockton so happy. So that is Saturday. What's the registration process? What do I need to do?
Yeah, if you go to sgcityutah.gov, it's right on our homepage. You can go ahead and sign up and be a part of it. There's a little bit of an event beforehand to commemorate the stairs because, as you may know, Tech Ridge paid for the stairs. So it wasn't the city that paid for the stairs, but the city's going to maintain it as a public amenity. And so it's open. It'll be open 24/7 for anybody to go ahead and get their exercise and follow their New Year's resolution. I think if you're still with it, you can still do your resolution and get in shape by tackling those stairs.
I don't think you can see it, Dave, but I know that Chad can see the picture of the dragon's tail, we're calling it, and it is daunting. I'm not going to lie. You look at that and you're going, that's a lot of steps.
It's a lot. It doesn't look so bad from up top.
Yeah? I could fall down that in 30 seconds.
Yeah. And so I thought, well, maybe if I slide down the rail, do I get maybe points for that? But that doesn't count.
Did they put the little knobbies on? I don't see any little knobbies, so you kind of could.
Right. Those knobbies make a difference.
Yeah. Okay. Also, another event happening on Saturday. Dave, tell us about it.
Yeah, Saturday's a big day. So after the Stair Climb Challenge, we have one of our most cherished events. It's called Heritage Day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several parts to Heritage Day. The main part is the root beer floats that our mayor and city council serve to the public between noon and 2 at the Social Hall.
Okay.
So if you don't know where the Social Hall is, it's at 212 North Main Street, right next to the where St. George Musical Theater does their productions. It's in that little complex. And of course, it's kind of in the middle between the art museum and the opera hall where the musical theater is. And it's free root beer floats. And it's, contrary to popular belief, we do not check IDs. You can be from St. George, Washington, Ivins, even Cedar City if you want to come and warm up and get a root beer float on us.
We can't let Cedar people
come. Oh, well, okay, maybe that. Right. We might check their IDs. But and that's only part of it. So we have a lot of free things going on that day. We've got free rides on the carousel, free rides on the Thunder Junction train. The Sand Hollow Aquatic Center, our pool, is open. The St. George Rec Center is open. Of course, the Art Museum is free. And you can ride the SunTram bus free all day.
Nice.
And so lots of really cool things going on. And it's a celebration of our city's birthday. We're 163 years old now. And I don't know about you guys, but I think we look pretty good for 163, huh?
Yeah, look real good. By the way, so St. George, the city pool on 7 South is still remodeled, right? It's still under construction.
Yeah, and that's usually closed at this time of the year anyway. That's more of the summertime pool. But yeah, that's under construction with a few upgrades to it.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of it being worked on. Look. Pretty cool what they were doing. So
absolutely,
that'd be cool. Do we have a target date on that? I guess it'll be done by summer for sure.
Yeah, we typically open that up in May.
Okay,
every year because that's an outdoor pool, and so right now it's not very appealing to take a dip. Whereas at the San Helo Aquatic Center, that's indoors, and so that can operate year round without the water frosting up or icing up. Yeah. I should say. Yeah,
we went one time. I remember there were some little kids from the neighborhood, and my wife, I don't know if you know this about my wife, she loves little kids. She just she's like this little Pied Piper, little kid following around. And there was one kid in particular, like 5 or 6 year old boy, loved the water slide on the city pool.
That's quite a slide.
And her and this little kid went down the slide probably 30 times over the next hour. As soon as they get to the bottom, you go again, and they would go up, and so
she did the stair climb challenge basically to get back up cumulatively, right? Take all 30 trips up there.
Later that night, she's like, I'm so tired. I'm like, why are you tired? You were just sliding. She goes, you've got to get to the top to slide down. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the hydro tube. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay, so Chad, we didn't mean to ignore you.
No, this is great.
Appreciate you being here.
But this is the best interview when you just sit here and have other people talk around you. It's great.
Look pretty. Dave, any other events in before we turn to Chad and talk about some of the new stuff?
Yeah, looking forward. You had mentioned the State of the City. That's coming up on February 11th.
Right.
And that's where the mayor gives her address. It's basically our annual report for the city. Talk about what we accomplished in the last year and what's up ahead. We can talk a little bit, maybe give a little bit of a sneak preview later on in the show today. But also that day on February 11th, taking place from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Now, the State of the City is at 3, but all day, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Also at the Dixie Center, just down the hall, is the Dixie Regional Transportation Expo.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
And that's a, I know that's a big, big interest to your listeners. They're very interested in that kind of stuff, and as they should be. And you can see the transportation plans, not only for St. George, but the entire region, Southern Utah. Lots of great things to see there. You can learn about more about our airport, the SunTran bus service plans, the different roads that are being built, the underpasses that will be coming on 400 east and 900 south to get under the freeway, help with a little bit with congestion, things like that. So mark your calendars, the Dixie Regional Transportation Expo, February 11th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
I love the Transportation Expo because people will call me and say, hey, what's happening over there, or what's going to go in there, and how, you know, I remember for a long time it was about the Main Street exit in Washington City.
Right.
And I said, well, you go to the expo, it's not like they're doing presentation. You actually go there and talk to the people doing the projects, and they'll give you the
And they love to talk to you.
Yeah.
They love it. And you come away with that little bit of social capital, right, when you hang out with your friends, and they say, well, do you know what's going on? It's like, as a matter of fact, I do. And that's huge.
I call it the Cliff Clavin factor. Right?
Yeah.
If you're old enough to remember.
Love me some Cheers. Yeah.
All right. So that's both February 11th, right, as you said?
Both February 11th, yep.
Yeah, very cool. Just going to be, I think, a good way to get. Like I said, I get people call all the time asking me stuff, and a lot of times I just don't know the answer, but I do know where to send them to,
right.
And the Transportation Expo is perfect for that.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. It's a great opportunity to have that conversation with people. It's not just a presentation. You can go up to the booth, and you can actually go 2, 3, 4 questions deep versus just looking at a presentation or going on Facebook and just seeing a map. You can actually ask the questions that you want, so it's a great opportunity if you really want to be engaged in your community.
I think, too, it helps differentiate because you have St. George City roads and things you guys work on. You have Department of Transportation roads. You have county roads. And all those organizations will be represented.
They all will.
You'll be able to ask them all questions. Because I think a lot of people, I know Main Street in Washington City, I referred to earlier, they were, you know, a lot of people were bragging on Washington City about this, that, or the other thing. And they're like, well, it's actually, you know, the Department of Transportation is doing that, not us. Sorry.
Right.
You know? And, I mean, they had some input, but it wasn't their project. But, you know.
UDOT project, yeah. And it actually turned out quite nice, if you ask me.
I agree. You live right over there now. Yeah. I used to. I moved to the dark side. No, the good side. Chad, last time, oh man, you teased us so bad last time. You say, yeah, something's coming in there. I can't tell you anything.
Such a tease.
Can you tell us anything about some of those projects that we had referred to last time? Do you remember any of those? I mean, the big one that for anybody that's on this side of town, Bluff Street and the Kmart Shopping Plaza, and we know a couple of things that are going in there. Have you learned any more?
Yeah, so on that, once again, at the Kmart Shopping Center, they're calling it St. George Place.
St. George Place.
That's the official. You know, no one really calls, the common person doesn't really call the shopping centers by their real names, but that's St. George Place, the old Kmart Box Shopping Center. Once again, the two big announcements are the REI and Hobby Lobby. We get a lot of questions about this, but Christensen's is staying.
That's good.
So they will be there, which is great for the community, and so have no fear, they'll be there as well. Probably the big one that you probably saw in the news, we got actually a lot of news coverage, whether it was from the Tribune or other news outlets, was the city council recently approved an incentive agreement for Costco warehouse down at Exit 2. So Exit 2 is the first exit on, if you're coming from south on I-15 over there by Desert Color and Sun River.
Old timers call it medium timers call it Sun River exit. Newer folks get as Desert Color exit. Some say Big Shots Golf exit.
Yeah, Big Shots Golf.
Yeah, it's that place right there. So Costco. And did we ever? I know last time we left it, we didn't know the exact spot. Do we know where Costco's going to be? Like,
yeah, so I can talk about that a little bit more.
Oh, good.
So they went. The company went to Planning Commission about a week ago, so they that's when they announced their site. So it's on the northeast quadrant. So if you know where the new Moto United building is, across the interstate from the new Smith's Marketplace, if you go east, there's a brand new building. That's the Moto United building. Just south of that is there's about 18, 20 acres. That's the site. So it'll be across the parkway from Big Shots. It kind of gives you an idea of where it's at.
Okay.
Great visibility for a Costco.
So my wife and I stopped to get gas at the Costco in Spanish Fork. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've been in that exit, that area, but there are hundreds of shopping places there, including, you know, anchored by Costco. But it was too much, honestly. The traffic and the roads and the way it was too much. And so I'm glad, number one, that we're getting a second Costco, because I think that will help alleviate some of the congestion in the first Costco.
Right.
But also, I'm hoping we don't have some big, giant, just plaza of shop after shop after shop and confusing traffic. And I know that's part of your job, right, is to make sure stuff like that doesn't overwhelm people.
Right. I mean, obviously, we want the infrastructure to support all the retail. The irony is, our retailers love it. When you're stopped, you start looking around, and they want to, and that's where it's really interesting. When we talk to, whether it's a big box retailer or a small business, where they want to go, it's where all the traffic is. They don't go and say, hey, I really want to put this store where there's no traffic so people can get in and
get
out.
There easy, yeah.
They want it to be where everything's going on. And so it's kind of this unique dynamic in economics where people want to be at the center of gravity.
I guess it's understandable, but it can get frustrating. Like I said, in Spanish Fork, and I don't live there. I mean, we had just stopped to get gas, and I think what made it worse is my sister-in-law had asked us to pick something up at that Costco that day, so we actually had to go in and...
What a burden.
major. I think, you know, I know our Costco is really busy. I would say Spanish Forks was pretty darn busy, too. I mean, there was a constant stream of people everywhere.
I think, so, you know, one does not just simply run into Costco. I think that was the first clue, right?
That's true.
Because you just don't just go in there and run in.
That's true. We call it our $200 gallon of milk, because you go in and get milk, right, and you know it's $200 worth of stuff. So it happens. It's okay.
But you escape for $200?
Yeah, we try to keep it to that. Yeah,
I wish we could.
Well, it's because the kids moved. When the kids were still at home, we had to buy all kinds of other stuff. But now that the kids have moved out, we're able to keep it down.
I actually like going into Costco and just getting one thing, and you're in line, and everyone looks at you like,
"What's wrong?
You did it. You were able to do it."
Yeah, we're not worthy. You know, everybody's like, "That's amazing. How did he do that?" So. Yeah, I love our Costco. You know, there was years ago, I don't know if you guys knew of it, and you're fairly new to town, but Sam's Club actually was going to move into Washington City. You know where Kohl's and that stuff is over there? Mm-hmm. Sam's Club was going to buy or build there, and everything just kind of fell apart at the last minute, and they ended up selling to the people that put Kohl's in and everything. But we were this close to a Sam's Club. At the time, I owned a vending business, vending machines, and I had to go to Vegas to the Sam's Club because there were certain products that Costco didn't sell. And I was so excited. Hey, we're going to get a Sam's Club. This is going to be amazing. And then, like I said, it fell apart, and we still had to go to Vegas. But
you bring up a great point, and that's why, you know, this project is still competitive. It's not a done deal till it's, you know, for me as an economic developer, until the day they open, it's not a done deal.
Chad doesn't like to count his chickens.
I do not like counting chickens at all. So it's a, you know, it's a competitive process. They looked at a variety of sites in Washington County, and we're very fortunate that we were able to present them with an incentive agreement to help make our site more competitive.
Now, one of the city council members said that didn't seem like we should give Costco incentives, and we should be, or maybe we should even that out and give some of the mom and pop stores incentives. I know that's not necessarily in your job description, but did you take that into account? Was that part of things for you as an economic development director?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. As an economic development director, especially for the city of St. George, you know, my job, as I like to say, is my job is to sell the harvest, not give away the farm.
Yeah.
We want to put St. George first every single day. And if we're going to look at incentives, we want to make sure that St. George benefits, that we come out ahead. That's a benefit not only to our business community, but also to our residents. We've heard for a long time that this is an amenity that the residents want. And we also know that this is an amenity that our business community wants and needs as well. So when we looked at this option, we didn't take it lightly. We did a lot of due diligence internally through staff. And we also want to make sure that we are supporting our small business community. And we feel that we do a really good job at that as well. You know, we're one of the top investors at the St. George Area Chamber of Commerce. We are partnering with a few organizations to help support small businesses. We're investing heavily in our downtown. We're putting a multi-million dollar investment right in our downtown. You look at all the streetscaping and infrastructure that we put in downtown to really support our small businesses. So our small business story is really strong, and that's where, you know, we want to make sure that our small business community feels that they are supported.
And one thing I like to add there too, if I could, you know, we usually get accolades every year, and most recently from Wallet Hub, where St. George is named the second best small city for starting a business. So when you start a business, you're not starting a big business. It's usually a small right. business, right?
And so you have hopes it'll be big someday.
You have hopes it'll be absolutely. And so, I think we do, just to echo Chad's comment, I think we do a lot for small businesses here.
I'm curious, Chad, if you could address this. So I've talked to, and we talked about this last time, Trader Joe's, they want a minimum population, you know, for to come to a place like this, and you know, we've got to be a certain size. Costco, I'm guessing they don't, maybe they don't have it on their website, but I'm guessing to have a second Costco in an area, they probably had some requirements. Did you have to address what it is they wanted?
Yes, Costco is very unique because they're a membership-based organization.
Right, right.
They have a lot more data than some other retailers just because they know where their shoppers are coming from, how much they spend. Yeah. They know that you come in wanting, you know, just a gallon of milk, and out $200.
I know, it's scary. They know too much,
They know that. So when they're looking at putting a potential store in this market, I mean, let's be real, St. George proper is only about 110,000. Our region is about 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
They feel confident that they can support two stores. And so we actually looked at models to see how two stores would exist. And as we were looking at potentially participating with them on an incentive, we knew that some of the growth at store two would pull from store one. And we wanted to make sure that both stores, we were actually gaining from not just store one, right? We're cannibalizing our own market.
Right.
And so we, like I said, we as staff, we did a lot of an internal analysis to make sure that incentive offer was something that we wanted to do.
I like the idea that you talked about. There was due diligence. There was, because I'm going to be honest with you guys, I'm kind of disenchanted with the FDA right now. This whole thing about red dye number, I did a story on this, a whole deal where 35 years ago, they banned red dye number 3 from cosmetics because it might cause cancer. At the same time, they let these companies put red 3 in all of our foods. And I'm like, I thought the FDA had my back. I thought we were good, and it turns out that, you know, maybe, I mean, I don't want to point fingers, but maybe it was money that talked and not, you know, worried about the, you know, us Americans, which I thought mm-hmm. they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to know that, you know, in drawing the comparison here, that you actually, you know, took into account, okay, what is it going to cost the average St. George person? What's the benefit for the average St. George person? And you didn't just go, hey, we want another Costco, bring it.
Exactly. I mean, we want a lot of things in life, but we also have to pay for them. And so we want to make sure that, once again, we, as staff, it's always St. George first. We try to put St. George in the best position possible. And then for us to make an incentive offer, we want to make sure that there's a positive ROI on that.
ROI, return on investment. I learned that the hard way a couple of years ago.
With my acronyms and abbreviations. I'm a government guy.
Jargon.
All right, got to get a commercial break in. Talking with Chad and Dave from St. George City here on Mayor. They're not mayors. Well, they're mayors of their houses, I guess. But that's about it, right?
My wife would disagree with that.
Okay. Well, you're assistant mayor. You're the executive assistant. Like my wife. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy, hanging with Dave and Chad. Just us fellas hanging out here, trying to be cool. And none of us are particularly cool. Dave might be the coolest.
Speak for yourself, Andy.
Dave might be the coolest one. He has a daughter in dance. I don't know if that makes you cool or not. Because
makes me a dance dad.
It makes you poor is what it does.
Yeah, that's exactly what it does. Yeah,
well.
That's exactly what it does.
I know exactly what we're talking about. I thought it'd be fun, Chad, you may or may not like this, to do a, what do we have too much of, what do we not have enough of in St. George? As the economic development director, let's start with grocery stores. Do we have enough grocery stores in St. George?
I would say no. I mean, we have a good amount, but I think for like the neighborhood shopping centers, I would say it'd be nice to. We're almost there, but not yet.
Okay.
Once Sprouts comes online and some other ones, maybe yes. But right now, I would say no.
Is Digby's, is that St. George City or is that into Santa Clara?
That is one of our great local businesses.
I went there yesterday. I love it. It was a fun little store.
It is.
It's the best place to get a Dole Whip.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Although I went for the soft serve twist yesterday when I was there. But that's pretty good, too. I just wasn't in the mood for Dole Whip.
You're so hip. You're going for the twist.
Yeah, that Digby's is a great place, especially when there's softball tournaments over at the Canyons Complex.
Right across the street.
You go over and get a snack.
Yeah, really cool stuff. Okay, and you got Sprouts. Tell us again where Sprouts is. I know where it is, but maybe some of the listeners haven't heard.
Sure, it's in the River Crossing Shopping Center, which absolutely means nothing to no one.
No, but,
it's over on George Washington Boulevard and River Road.
Okay,
over there by the Popeyes, the Maverick.
So across River Road from where the Village Baker and the Maverick is. Right?
Yeah, so where that Village Baker is, it's going to be in that same center. There's a
it is. Okay.
Yeah, so it's that same shopping center where Village Baker is, the Starbucks, the McDonald's. There's a Cypress Credit Union that's going right in front of that hard corner.
One,
and there's a massive office building going up right now, and that's Kiln. It's a kind of a co-working space that's going up right now.
Those are interesting. You talked about it a little bit last time, but where it's not one big company's office space, but rather a bunch of little companies can rent out little spaces there, right?
Yeah, so Kiln, a good example of them, or at least I think most people would find, they would be familiar with, is WeWork, where you would come in and they program the space. So you as a company can come in. Sometimes they have food. They try to do events and to get all these small businesses to come and network and create that environment for small businesses. But you can also rent offices and whatnot. You can also buy memberships. So once you buy a membership from one Kiln, they have a variety of locations throughout the United States.
Nice.
That you can go and use as well.
Very cool. Okay, back to our too much or not enough. We could break down restaurants by style, you know, Mexican, Italian, et cetera, but just as far as restaurants in general, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chad, that we have a lot, maybe even more than a town our size would have restaurant-wise. Is that true?
Yeah, we always hit above our weight class when it comes to retail, restaurants. For, for a city of 100,000, we're pretty fortunate that way.
And part of that is because when it's tourist season, we aren't a city of 100,000 anymore, are we?
We will find that out very quickly on Presidents' Day week and our busiest weekend of the year. We quickly become 200, 250.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. Soccer, baseball tournaments.
You name it.
What else? Yeah.
Golf.
Golf,
The homes.
The Parade of Homes.
Parade of Homes, yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the big driver for Presidents' Day weekend.
Yep.
Nice. All right. How about vacant homes, real estate, but stuff for people to live and buy? Do we have enough? And I'm guessing the answer is, well, it depends on who you ask. Right. But
Jeremy was just on a few.
Yeah.
You'd probably say
he might still be on.
Yeah, he might still be talking for all we know. But, I feel like because the construction business is very busy that maybe we don't have enough as far as at least developers are concerned.
Right. We actually don't. Our vacancy rate for industrial Class A space, so that's Class A is like your premium, your best offerings. Our vacancy rate is less than 1%.
Which is crazy.
Which is crazy.
That's basically more than full.
Right. Yeah. It's almost unhealthy. When you look at retail vacancies, we're less than 5%, and also in the multifamily, it's really hard to find a space. And if any small business is out there trying to find really good, we were just talking about this, a really good restaurant space in a highly visible area, good luck. Really hard
there
to.
There isn't one, yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why you see a lot of new growth happening is because companies, even though it is expensive to develop here, it just makes it pencils. So I would say not enough, especially where our market's going, the demand, where we see the market going as well.
It's interesting. One of my colleagues here at Town Square Media wrote a story about that building in front of the mall that was Hash House and Buca di Beppo and Ruby Tuesday and how that seems to be cursed. When you talk about, well, you know, there's not much in the way of, for a business, that, for whatever reason, that doesn't seem to survive or hasn't seemed to survive in the past. Now, I know a new place, I think it's Korean Barbecue or something is
new
going.
New Korean Barbecue is coming up.
And we hope that they can survive this time, but it's crazy. I mean, just because we're busy and we have a lot of people, it does not mean that it's a guarantee of success.
No, and that's one of the things with a lot of times we get called, or at least I get called of, hey, this business is struggling, or hey, why is this one location keep turning over?
Yeah.
And there is some of that where sometimes it's just a bad location. And I'm not saying that one in the mall is a bad location. But it's just, it really, there's a lot of things that come into a deal. How much did they pay for the rent?
Mm-hmm.
Is there, you know, food too expensive? Did they make a good site selection decision?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that factor into it. There's also a thing which is that there's that life cycle where, I mean, if you would have talked to my grandparents about Sears going out of business, they would have laughed in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Sears was the Amazon of our day. And if you look at you now, all those empty Sears boxes have been redeveloped, and now there are a lot of cool new businesses. And so when you look at economic development from a 30,000 foot view perspective, mm-hmm. sometimes a vacant space is good because there's a lot of investors or potential entrepreneurs right now looking at potentially opening up a business, but they can't find the space. So they're like, is it worth it? When there's that vacant pad now, you know, the old Hash House location, they're like, oh, maybe my dream is a possibility.
Hmm.
And so it's not always the worst thing. Obviously, we want to make sure that our businesses are successful. We want to support them. And we feel that we do a pretty good job doing that. But at the same time, sometimes a little vacancy is not the worst thing for us because, like, if you're trying to move into an area and there are no homes to move into, you can't move in. So it's good to have a little bit of turnover.
I had a guy call in a few weeks ago talking about he says, St. George, if you're into outdoor stuff and trails and hiking and biking and all that, this is a great place. He said, but I'm into concerts and nightlife, and St. George doesn't have that. So the next two not months enough. Are not enough. Do we have enough nightlife to entertain someone that's maybe age 16 to 26?
I think, well, we've increased the clubs. We just got another Costco, so that's what we've been working. That's where St. George goes to club.
Clubbing over there. Yeah.
You have a membership card, too. But in all seriousness, that's probably one of our weakest parts is our nightlife.
Is that okay, though? I mean, I don't know about you, Chad, but Dave and I, we don't care if there's not a nightclub. We're family guys, you know.
I think that's one thing as you look at trying to retain our talent, that sweet spot of, you know, the 18, 35, 40. Mm-hmm. I think a little bit of nightlife is important. I don't think we have to go to the extreme as Las Vegas and have that type of nightlife.
I hope not, yeah.
And so there's a Goldilocks for every community. And so I think that's something that we are lacking. That's one of the reasons why you see the musical theater building their nice buildings in downtown. That mm-hmm. will create that environment. What we're trying to accomplish up at Tech Ridge, where you have that live, work, play, a nightlife can look different in other communities. But to be frank, if you're not moving to St. George because of its outdoor amenities, then you're in the wrong spot, because that's why people are here. And that's why that staircase, that Tech Ridge, is so important, because that can also be nightlife, right, where you're going to go out with your friends and hang out and go for a walk or go explore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we don't have a ton of clubs, unfortunately.
This particular guy that called, he didn't move here. He grew up here. He's lived here his whole life, and he says, you know, outdoor stuff is fine, and, you know, I can do it sometimes, but that's not my interest. And, you know, a lot of people, I actually had other people call in and say, well, you know, go to Vegas then if you want nightlife. And
exactly. I mean, we're only about 2 hours away, depending on how fast you drive. So.
40 minutes from Mesquite, too, and there's plenty of nightlife there,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I guess bowling doesn't count as nightlife, right?
Depending on your age, it can be the greatest thing or the most boring thing.
We're talking with Chad Thomas, right? Did I get your last name right? Yeah, Chad Thomas. I have this weird deal, and Dave knows, being a sports guy, you hear a name, and maybe you heard that name 20 years, 15 years earlier of some guy, and it's just slightly different. And you can't get that name out of your head. I've done that many times, broadcasting especially, Dave. Is,
oh, yeah.
You know, and now I'm old enough, I'm getting kids and even grandkids of guys that I first broadcast games for 30 years ago. And Were you here when Brooksby Stafford was a star for Snow Canyon? I think it was right
that was probably a little bit before the early 2000s.
He was an All-State running back, helped him win a couple of championships.
Late 90s then, yeah.
And his son was a soccer star.
Oh, wow.
And so I didn't actually broadcast any of his son's games, but I didn't take the time to give Brooksby a hard time. I'm like, how can you let your son play that sport that's they call football, but you and I both know is not really football?
Yeah. So.
Let's see, 9:47. Let's take a quick commercial break. Back with more with Chad and Dave after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
I did want to mention, if you want to text or call into the show, you're welcome to. The text line is 467-5842. That's my cell phone. I'm holding it right here in my hand. We would love to hear from you. Or if you have a question for David Cordero or Chad Thomas, the Economic Development Director here with St. George City, we'd love to hear from you. 673-5890. They're not scared of your questions. You might be scared of their answers, actually. So. Do we have enough car washes, Chad?
I think the answer is yes. I think anyone, we're actually looking at doing a new unit where there's a credit union, car wash, and soda shop all in the same building. I've been waiting for someone to propose that. So
the Cypress Freddy's Quick Quack Swig.
I think it would do really well, especially on a nice hard corner.
Oh yeah, all kinds of business there.
Well, thanks again for coming on today, you guys. Let's talk about, I haven't given you the open platform to, is there anything that you can tell us, the stuff that's coming in to St. George that you're allowed to talk about?
Short answer is no. I think that was a pretty easy question there.
Okay.
That was a nice softball there. Okay. But one really cool thing, and we can talk about this leading to our some of the preview for State of the City. We had a really cool ranking come out last week by the Milken Institute. So the Milken Institute is a really nationally known organization that does rankings of best performing cities. And St. George was actually ranked number 2 best performing city in the entire United States of America. And one of the reasons why was because of our huge GDP growth in the tech sector. We were actually first in GDP growth out of the entire United States. And kind of going back to our discussion about why we do incentives, what we're trying to do is we're very fortunate to be in St. George. St. George is an amazing place, has a great economy. We don't take being Southern Utah's number one economy lightly. And so we do a lot of things intentionally to make sure that we maintain that status. And we're really excited about our State of the City coming up next or in a few weeks because it's our opportunity to tell the residents what we do. We do a lot of things behind the scenes, and part of my job and David's job is really to promote what we're doing. And that's one of the reasons why we're on your show, is really to get out there, tell what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's, Dave, before you start, it's kind of counter Utah culture to, we're kind of all raised to be humble and not brag about ourselves. But I always say there's certain areas where you need to not be humble. If you're in a job interview, you don't go in saying, oh, I'm not very good. You're not going to get the job, right?
Right.
And you guys' jobs in particular, yours, Dave, you've got to not be humble when it comes to St. George City. You've got to talk about the great things that are happening. That's important.
Yeah, absolutely. Promotion is my main job here at the city. And one thing, our culture at the city of St. George, it's kind of funny. We're trying to kind of shift that a little bit because we are really good at just going to the wall, doing whatever it takes to get things done. We've got so much going on as a city, and you'll see that at the State of the City, just the amount of projects that are going on, it's mind-boggling. And we've had a tendency in the past that we finish something and then we move on to the next thing, and we don't really take a moment to reflect, to celebrate, to say, hey, this is what we're doing with your tax dollars. And the public deserves to know what we're doing with their tax dollars. And so we really made it an emphasis to bring those stories out, to tell those stories. I mean, we finished the 3000 East project, which has greatly improved getting around in the Little Valley area.
Yeah.
And that's just one. I don't want to tease too much for the State of the City. I want you to want to come and hear about it. But there's so much going on, and we're trying to do our best to let everybody know about it.
Very, very cool. I wanted to ask Chad before I let you go. There was that. There's that parcel of land right downtown. They put a. It was a request for.
Yeah, request for qualifications.
RFQ. Yeah.
RFQ. All those cool acronyms.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Whatever happened with that?
Yeah, it's a great project. We've had a lot of progress on it. So we selected a group, and it's a local development group here that we're working on the design. And hopefully we'll come to terms with the sale here in a few months, and then we can start moving forward on some dirt. So, you know, you may start seeing dirt move. Economic development projects or development projects in general take time. There's a lot of due diligence on them. But we hope to start seeing some dirt moving probably beginning of 2026. They're out there doing – if you may start seeing some people out there surveying and striping the – striping the road to see where the lines are, but there's a lot of really cool, a lot of cool progress there, and a lot of people are asked, okay, well, what's going over there? We're looking at a mixed use project.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it a mixed use kind of thing?
Mixed use. So mixed use, if for those that don't know what that term means, it's a variety of uses. So we'll have a hospitality component, so a hotel, some housing. And also some retail. So all those things, those are three different types of uses. That's why it's called mixed use.
Okay. I like it. And I know it was important to the mayor, the city council, and others involved to make sure that's a spot. I mean, that is a high-profile spot in St. George City. So to make sure it was a spot that was something positive.
It's a really cool project. It's also very challenging. It's right in the heart of our downtown. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure it's progressive enough to really show off what our market can absorb. At the same time, we don't want to destroy what our market is, and that's that people like coming to St. George. It's kind of that quaint feeling. I mean, we're right next to Ancestor Square, and that's just a nice piece of real estate that people love going to. And so we have to really take all those design elements and to create something really beautiful.
One last question. Talked a lot with Adam Snow the other day about the Northern Corridor. What does that mean to economic development for St. George from your perspective, Chad?
Yeah, transportation is vital to economic development. We were just talking about all retailers want traffic. So where traffic flows, how it flows is really important. So you can best be sure that we're paying very close attention to the discussions of the Northern Corridor to make sure it benefits St. George.
You have an interest for sure in it, maybe more than your average person, unless you live in Ivins and, you know, travel up north a lot. Then you have a
pretty Ivins has a big interest in it too.
Yeah, for
to,
sure.
To get around. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They it's an area that it's a problem that needs to be followed. And it's geography, right? I mean, or geology of the area. You got to get around, and we have some unique formations and stuff that you got to get around.
Three ridges, two rivers, and an interstate presents challenges.
It certainly does. And a pinch point, a really big pinch point right over there, too.
Yeah.
You got to get people through. So, well, fellas, thanks for coming on. Anything else, Dave, before we let you go that we need to mention?
No, I just wanted to say that we appreciate the opportunity to come on here, and we're always happy. And I know that the callers may have been a little shy for these two appearances, but we're certainly welcome. In future visits, we'd be happy to take questions from your listeners.
Yeah, what I can do is set up some questions from folks in advance. That's the way radio is. You just never know.
Maybe they're just waiting for the mayor. Maybe they love to ask her the questions and not Chad and I.
Maybe we're doing such a great job on social media that they already know the answers. So once again, we have an updated website. You can come check us out at sgc.org or sgcityutah.gov.
Yeah, that's a new one.
It's a new one, sorry. Mm-hmm. So sgcityutah.gov. And also, find us on Facebook. We do a lot of proactive promotion and marketing there.
I did. I always tell the story, guys, when you're wondering about phone callers. One time I did a show on a highly controversial political topic, didn't get a single call. The next day I did it on breakfast cereals, and the phone lines were lit the whole hour. So
that's what matters to the people.
That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. Guys, thanks for coming on. Really good to talk to you.
Thanks, Andy.
All right. That'll do it for the show today. Open lines tomorrow. Next week, got some cool guests scheduled for you. Looking forward to it. We'll talk to you then.